Let us pray. Father, again, we thank you for your written word. We thank you for the spoken word. And we thank you, Lord, for the word being in our hearts and in our minds. And as it is there, Lord, calls us to live it, walk it, work it, even speak it by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. We give you honor, praise, and glory. Amen, amen, amen. I want to read 1 Kings chapter 11, verses 5 first. It speaks of Solomon. 1 Kings chapter 5, starting at verse 5. It says that, "For Solomon went after Ashtoreth, the goddess of the Zidonians, and after Milcom, the abomination of the Amorites. And Solomon did evil in the sight of the Lord, and went not fully after the Lord, as did David his king." I want to read that again. "And Solomon did evil in the sight of the Lord, and went not fully after the Lord, as did David his father. Then did Solomon build in high place of the Cheshmosh, the abomination of Moab, in the hill that is before Jerusalem, and for Molech, the abomination of the children of Ammon." That is an example of a man who isn't walking fully in the way that he ought to walk. And in fact, the God that is in his life is not fully operating in his life because he's suppressed. He's minimized that God. And what I want to do is talk about, again, what I spoke of a little last week in a different light, so to speak. The title last week was, "How Big Is Your God in You?" And this time I want to speak in reference to the same title, except I want to express it with the subtitle of, "The Power of God Is Really in Our Desires." In other words, how God operates in your life is based on what your desires are. Because like Solomon did, Solomon minimized the power of God in his life. And therefore, because one of the reasons why is because he went after other gods, as Kings talks about. He did not fully follow after the Lord. With that being said, if you would, please turn to Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 through 21. Matthew chapter 6. And Jesus said this, Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust does corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust does corrupt, where thieves do not break through and nor steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And then verse 24 says this, No man can serve two masters or two gods. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Mammon, more specifically, is talking about money. And I guess the reason he kind of said that is because if you look at life and if you look at man over the eons of time, you'll see that man is tremendously drawn to money. Because money has power in it. Money has an effect in it that can help problems. It can help challenges. But at the same time, when one is consumed too much in it, he gets over into an area where he's replaced the God of heaven with the power of the small God that is on earth. And that's why I want to talk about again today, how big is your God in you, but at the same time, speak from the standpoint of the power of God is really in our desires. Just to recap what I said last week, I'm going to kind of read from my notes to put things in order. How big is your God in you? Well, we understand that publicly, according to what Elijah went through in his life, he spoke publicly boldly. And he saw the power of God operating in other people's lives. He healed a lady's son, raised him from the dead. He did tremendous things, and he showed forth the power of God that he worshipped over all of the false prophets of Baal. And tremendous things began to happen in his life. But at the same time, in this man's life, although he resisted 450 prophets, he was afraid of one little woman, Jezebel, and he ran for his life. It shows that from sometimes that we're praying in a bold sense and proclaiming the word before people, We can believe God to every extent, but when it comes to our own lives, to say, God, take care of this little small enemy, this little small problem in my life, we run for cover because we are afraid. That's because the God sometimes that's operating in us isn't as big as it ought to be or he ought to be when we are before people and praying for other people and trying to bless them in that sense. I was saying in terms of last week, in reference to how big is God in you, first of all, we do wrestle with God sometimes. Jacob wrestled with him. There are small gods sometimes that we hold on to, as Solomon did. Solomon held on to the gods of Ammon. He held on to the gods of Zidonians. And he held on to these small gods, and he minimized the power of the big God that was in his life. And we can be that way. God can be powerful in our lives. But the wonderful thing about God is that as big as he is, he will allow you and he will allow me to suppress the power that he can operate through us. Because it's all connected to faith. It's all connected to what we believe in and how we can believe God. And you would think to yourself, how is it that God will allow us to do that? Because he loves us. He's the kind of individual that he will not override our will, but he will allow your will, in a sense, to kind of override what he wants in your life. Even if it is something that's good, if it's something bad for your life, sometimes God will allow you to override his will and do that which is bad. How can I say that? Because there are times in my life that I knew the way to go and didn't do it. I'm talking about as a Christian, I knew that I was not supposed to have done this, and I did it anyway. I overrode God's will for my life and God's will for what he wanted done. But when I did it, of course, the power that was in me was followed by the desires that I had for myself. And so with that being said, again, I want to get into what I want to speak of today. First of all, as we see in Matthew, Jesus said that you can't serve two gods. You have to make up your mind, and I have to make up my mind that either I'm going to serve the God of heaven or I'm going to serve the God of the earth. And for the most part, it's a battle against spiritual things as opposed to natural things. And the natural things sometimes can get the upper hand on us because we like following after natural things. We like following after the natural things of the world that is represented by the God of this world. We like following after money. We like following after power. We like following after lust and the desires of the flesh. And it seems as if we are at a situation that puts us in a way that we said, God, you put me in a position whereas the things that I want to do, I love doing it. And therefore, it's just easy for me to do it, even though I know it's not right. And so we do serve a spiritual God as opposed to a worldly God, or vice versa. We serve a worldly God as opposed to a spiritual God. One of the things I want us to all understand is this, that our actions really express what God we really serve. When I do it right, it's saying to me, I'm serving the true living God. But when I do it wrong, it's saying that I'm serving a God that I'm not supposed to be serving. It is the small gods of this world, but nevertheless, my actions are dictating and showing that God that I want to serve. You see, because there are big gods in people, or they are small gods, so to speak, but they are expressing themselves in a big way. The God of lust, or the God of drugs, and the God of things of this world, they're small in comparison to God, but when I allow them to express themselves through my desires, they can become big, and they can overwhelm me, but it's because I'm allowing it, and it's the power of that God that's operating through the desires that I have in my life for that which I want to do. Crime is running at an all-time high. Why is it? Because people are following after the gods that causes us to commit crime. We do it because we desire to do it. When I go and steal, I desire to steal, and therefore I'm allowing the little God that ain't supposed to have dominance over my spirit, I'm allowing him to become big in my life. And the bigger that we allow Satan to get, I want to say this to you, the bigger that we allow the devil to be in our lives, the bigger that he will become. He just doesn't become big to one extent, but he grows bigger and bigger and bigger. And if you don't believe that, you ask the alcoholic, that after 20 or 30 years, he's drank every day, and now he wants to put it down, and he can't stop. The drug addict that takes a hit for a few times, and then this thing has him hooked, it grows and it grows and it grows, and then you see that he's overwhelmed by the things that he's doing, the actions that he's involved in his life, and now I can't stop. And I want to stop, but now the little God has become the big God in my life, and it started out because that's what I desired to allow him to have. We have to be careful as to what God operates in our lives. And I realize that there are two gods that we're always that's always competing in our lives. There is the God of heaven, Jehovah God, the Lord Jesus Christ. And then there are other gods as well. And so when we look at Solomon and we compare his life with what he allowed to take place, it says that he didn't follow after the God his father David followed after, but he followed after other gods, and they were gods mostly of women. And these wives, as it says in the verse 8 of that same chapter 11, of 1 Kings, it says that he went after these strange wives and he followed after the God of these strange wives. You see, it all falls back down to this. If I desire that which is not of God, then that God which I'm attached to begins to become big in my life and I give him more and more and more power. That is why drugs, when you give it a little bit of power, it becomes the real God in our lives. And that's all we want to do is suck down drugs, drink up alcohol, or whatever thing that you know of in life that is not right. When you give it a little power, it becomes a God in our lives and it overwhelms us. And so therefore you have to watch what God that you yield to. You have to watch as well your desires. Are your desires lined up with spiritual things, or are your desires lined up with things of this earth? And we can all probably say, well, they really line up with both, because there are things in this earth that I need, but at the same time, because I love it so much, I run after it big time, and it becomes a God. And then now, after I've gotten it, I find out that, you know, it really ain't worth what I put into it. It's kind of like this. We spend all of our days trying to achieve something, and we find out that after we get it, it ain't really what I wanted. Well, at least it's not the way that I wanted it. And so therefore, we have to be careful as to what we really desire on the earth. Our desires will lead us to follow after certain kinds of gods. In Peter, 1 Peter 2:2, it says this, that there are certain kinds of desires that we ought to have, and as far as the desires that we have, they should be, for the most part, spiritual things. If you are, quote unquote, called a born-again Christian, our greatest focus, our greatest attention should be on the things that are of heaven. Peter said that we should desire the sincere milk of the word of God, and the sincere milk of the word is really has to do with spiritual things. The sincere milk of the word is not centered around on the things of earth that really satisfy or pacify my flesh. And we have it mixed up sometimes. We even have sometimes even preachers that get it all mixed up. They're preaching things wherein is good for us and is beneficial to us, but it's worldly. And because we latch on to it, and nothing is wrong with latching on to it if that's what we want, but the careful thing is that we have to be is that we have to make sure it doesn't become a God to us, because the God that becomes or has the greatest power in our life is the God that we desire the most. And that's why he's saying desire the sincere milk of the word. Desire God. Follow after him. Jesus said that if any man should come after me, let him deny himself. Deny the things of the world. Pick up his cross, which is a burden to us, and follow after me. But he's talking about spiritual things. We have to make sure that the spiritual things in our lives are the things that are number one in our lives. and make sure that the things of the earth is running behind in second place. If it's, you know, it could be farther than that, but I'm just saying at least in second place. In 1 Corinthians 14:1 says that we should covet the best gifts, and they are spiritual gifts. We should covet preaching, and we should covet loving, and we should covet doing what's right. We should covet those things that are godly and of God. All of that exemplifies the power that is in me, or the big God that is in me. Because if I desire to preach, then I'm fulfilling that which is spiritual. If I desire to have the sincere milk of the word, meat as it were, then I'm following after a spiritual thing. In essence, more so spiritual knowledge, to know more about God. And then in 2 Corinthians 5, it says that we should desire heaven. In other words, what the scripture says in reference to that is that if this body were dissolved, we have another body that God will give to us, and a body that's not made by the hands of man, but is made by God who is eternal, and is a tabernacle that we'll have forever for those of us that desire to have that kind of body. But if we just desire to fulfill that which is good for the natural man, then we shall perish, and our perishing shall be from everlasting to everlasting. Now, lastly, I want to say in reference to us desiring the power of God and making sure that it aligns up with the desires that we have, or more so, our desires should line up with the particular power of God. It tells me two things. It tells me again that I should be careful as to what I desire. It ain't nothing wrong with me desiring food. It's nothing wrong with me desiring clothes, and nice clothes at that. It's nothing with me desiring certain things in life that not only do I need, but as well things that are beneficial to my life. But I have to make sure that I'm not giving those desires that are in me too much power, that it will begin to say, the big God that you had, God, is now the little God. And the little God that you had is now the big God. Because after all, we're talking about how big is the God that is in you? Well, how big is God that is in you? And what are your desires really centered around? Now, with that being said, I want to direct your attention to Psalms 23 as I begin to close out here. Because Psalms 23 is a unique psalm. I'm sure all of you know it. Well, even if you don't know it, not that it matters much, but we've heard it a number of times, especially it's one of the psalms that a lot of times are taught when we were kids. Certainly in my day, they taught me when I was a child. But it is a unique psalm, and what it does is showing me about the power of God and the power of God that is within me. It's showing me as to the power of God in my desires. Because Psalm 23 is saying this. God's power in me says this, that it is the Lord that is my shepherd, that I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. It is he that leads me beside the still waters. It is he that restores my soul. It is he that leadeth me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for it is he that is with me. It is his rod and his staff that will comfort me. It is God that prepares a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. It is God that anoints my head with oil and causes my cup to run over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of he, the Lord, forever. Now let me break it down to you a little bit as to the way that I see it. Because Psalm 23, again, is saying to me that the power of God says in me that he is my big God. And he is the God that I will follow after, not the God of the world. But it is God, Jehovah God, the Lord Jesus Christ, that I will follow after. And he is my shepherd, meaning that I will have confidence in this God. The power that is expressed through me is showing that I can have confidence in him because I know that he is the one that will take care of me. It is he that leads me into the paths of righteousness. And the power in me shows that because I'm walking in the path of righteousness, that I don't have to worry about being dishonest or walking with the kind of integrity that is not upright and upstanding before God. In he, in verse 2, it is he, the God, that has the power in me that causes me to lie down in green pastures. And what it means is that others may see the pasture that I'm in and it looks dry to them, but to me it's green because, see, it doesn't matter how beautiful the pasture looked to other people. To me, my God has given me a pasture that I own. And the wonderful things about it is not centered around natural things, but it's centered around spiritual things. To David, that pasture was green. To me, my pasture is green. Even when it don't look like all of my needs are met. Because the power of God in me says that I look to my God from whence cometh my help. My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. And therefore, I do have my confidence in him. And I do put my rest in him. And even though it does look dry sometimes, it's a green pasture to me. And I wouldn't trade this pasture in for no other pasture. I would not trade in anything that he has given to me for anything else in the world. Because my desires is in the God of the universe. In verse 3 it says it, and it is my soul that is restored. Meaning no matter what you go through, no matter what I go through, I put my trust in him and I rest in him each and every day. Because my desires are in the Lord. And I don't worry about the things that happen in my life. I don't be concerned about it not going the right way or the wrong way. If I'm trusting in him, it's going to go the way that it ought to go. And I realize that the gods of this world will draw my attention and focus me on things that are natural. They'll get me off the path of righteousness. They'll get me on the things that don't mean anything in terms of the scheme of eternity. But they'll cause me to focus on natural things. But my God and the power of God in me says that if you would just live right, your soul will be restored and your integrity will show forth the kind of God that's operating in your life, Stephen. And therefore, I don't worry about things. And I realize this much too, that if the desire of God is big in my life, that one day I'm going to receive the reward that he has for me. Sometimes we forget about the fact that we are living for rewards. In that we think sometimes that the rewards are just for today, but no, let me say this to you. The rewards are not the rewards that we're really looking for. They're not just for today. For I look for a city in whom my God is the maker. I look for a new body that God will give to me. I don't look to this flesh here because this flesh will let me down. It let me down every day because it will sin and it will get sick sometimes and it has pains in it. And it has defaults and imperfections in it. Even the little small blisters that we have or the little pimples that we have sometimes, it shows us that God, you're saying to me each and every day, I can't put no trust and confidence in this flesh. But we do it so many times. My desire for this flesh is that everything is to be working right and in order. And yeah, it's all right for me to want that and to believe that it's going to happen, but it's another thing for me to put all of my confidence in this flesh and not look for a new body, not look for a new heaven and a new earth, to not look for a new raiment of clothes to put on, to not look for a new house that one day I'll live in, because Jesus said that I'm building you mansions, and where I am, you may be also. I don't look for the power of the God that offers it just for today. I look for the power that is within me to offer it in eternity. In verse 4, he says this, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. And therefore, no matter what kind of valley that you are going through, do not be afraid because God will take care of that which is his own. We don't have to worry about the evil day because even though the evil day may come sometimes, as it did with Job, that day too will pass away. And therefore, don't just settle for things that are in the present. Look for things that are in the future. Don't look for things that this earth only can give you. Look for things that heaven above can give you and the God of heaven can give to you. In verse 5, and this is the way that Solomon, David more so was saying, he said, listen, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Here's what I saw in that when I was reading it. It's two things that he had. There's a rod and there was a staff that the shepherd has. The rod is for beating the animal, and in our cases, sometimes it beats us into the right attitude and the right motives that we should have. But then the staff was used to grab hold of an animal to bring it back into safety. You might think to yourself, how is it that the rod will comfort me? When the rod is being used in the right way to straighten up somebody's life, ultimately they are comforted. If you let a child just do any and everything that he wants to do without ever spanking that child, because they need to understand that this is for your good, and as some moms and dads used to say, it's going to hurt me more than it hurts you. I ain't quite believing that, but anyway, the idea is that this rod may hurt for a season, but in the long run, your life is going to be much better, and you will be comforted. How many of us that know people that are on the death row and are in prison for the rest of their lives because they perhaps did not receive the rod the right way and they did not receive the staff the right way. And so now their rod is you're in prison for the rest of your life, or you're on the death row, and the penalty of what you should have gotten at one point in time is now coming, but it's going to end it all. And so the rod basically is used to reprimand an individual. The staff consoles us and keeps us out of danger. And the rod helps us to understand danger of life. In verse 5, thou prepares a table before me in the presence of mine enemy. Thou anointest my head with oil, and my cup runneth over. Shows that God, the power of God that I believe in me, will take care of every need that I have. In fact, he caused an abundance to take place in our lives. Many of us have things that we don't even deserve. Many of us have things that we never, ever thought in our lives that we'd ever have. But because of the abundance of the power of God that operates in your life and the God that you believe in and trust in, things have fallen in your lap. And you have accrued things that you never, ever thought sometimes that you would ever had. Let's throw you and Erica, when y'all were 4 and 5 years of age, never, ever imagined that you'd have children. Never, ever imagined that you'd have a son that one day to you might be the biggest blessing of your life. But the rod and the staff is going to have to be used at some point in time in that child's life. But when he grows up, and you see that I got a son or a daughter, or I have a cousin or a friend that I met that I didn't know at some point in time, and now they're the greatest thing that happened to my life. And let me say this, husband and wives too. Sometimes we don't look at it that way, but we look at it and say, I never would have imagined that because I'm connected to that individual, that the things that are happening in my life now is happening. It's God's call, God causing your table to be blessed, and for your cup to run over. All of that is connected because you're believing in a God that can do all of that. And therefore, you believe in the God now and not the individual. And lastly, verse 6, it says this, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Basically, not only is there contentment at the Lord's table, but as well, when we look into the God, the big God that can operate in us, we realize and understand that all things that I look forward to are eternal. And I look for a good eternity. I look for a good God. A good God. A God that will bless. But when we follow after the gods like Solomon did, and they are only natural, we do follow after women. We follow after men. We follow after money. We follow after a little power. We follow after materialistic things. And they are the gods of the world that will draw our attention away from the God of the universe. And when that happens, those little gods that we latched ourselves to begin to grow in our lives. And the big God that was once there is minimized by the power of the little gods that grew because we did not control the desires of our flesh. We forgot the spiritual things, and focused our lives on the natural things. I want to say this lastly. As far as God is concerned, we really can't get out of him what we're not willing to put into him. Meaning this, if you expect God to operate boldly and big in your life, you have to put something into him. Prayer and fasting. And your mind stayed on him all the time. Because if we never ever do that, then the big and wonderful things that we expect from him won't take place. Sometimes our prayers aren't answered because we're over here messing around with the little gods and not putting anything into the big God. Not doing what we ought to do for the big gods. And I don't really have to name them because sometimes when we name things, we categorize it to say this is what we ought to do, and then we miss the category that we ought to be doing. But for you in your life and for me in my life, I have to look at it and see, where is my attention going? Is my attention on the television and I'm allowing that God to become my big God and taken away from the attention of the Bible or prayer? But we have to understand, what desire do I really have in my heart? And so I want you to understand that heaven operates just like earth does, and that is, it operates on a law of reaping and sowing. What you get from God is based on how you sowed it in the earth. But I say this, and I ask you this, how big is your God in your life? And secondly, the power of God is operating through certain desires in your life, but what are your desires? Are they spiritual or are they materialistic? And then how much are you allowing the materialistic gods to operate in your life? Or have they grown bigger than God? Or do you keep them suppressed like they ought to be? Father, help us with your word in Jesus' name. Bless it. Amen. Amen. If you would please stand.